Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What a great song.
So good, man. It's so
good. From a great movie. Oh, hope you're having a good start to, we can call it your weekend. Friday is 7 a.m. I mean, if you're smart, you just skip school, skip work. Don't have to go to school because it's the summer. Don't have to go to summer school because you didn't get that F. Joe, do you ever summer school?
Nope.
Yeah, you don't want that. That is not good. All right, so the Phils, though, offense really, really, really not good. Pitching's been great. I mean, the bullpen is still a concern. You know, they haven't pitched that many innings in the series, and they haven't pitched that well in the few innings they have pitched. Kirkring last night gives up the run. Yesterday afternoon, Phils lose 2-1. Very aggravating series. Really, real and concerning. Because the reality is that as great as the pitching is a positive, the offense is a negative. And it's a hell of a worry for the playoffs. Five questions with the Mac Man. It's something we always do when Jody's in.
Can I just say I love five questions with the Mac Man.
Every
time you do it, I love it. I always look forward to them. Keep doing it. That's all I'm going to say.
And on record, I got no bloody idea what he's going to ask. He had to tell me diddly squat ahead of time.
All right, question number one, Jody. With this athletic competition up ahead between me and Fritz, question number one is this. Why? Because I broached this late in the program yesterday. Why doesn't John Ritchie support me at all? Like, when I asked him yesterday, he kept leaning into, well, I think you're going to lose. Well, I know you think I'm going to lose. There's a difference between, I mean, I think the Flyers were going to lose last year. Doesn't mean I didn't support them. I mean, I'm a Flyers fan. So why doesn't John, like, try to give me some emotional support and encouragement as my buddy and co-host? Why, Jody?
And basically you're asking
because I could use it.
You're asking me to speak for John, which I'm a little uncomfortable doing.
I'm asking you to think
But I'll
for
go
John.
Ahead and do it anyway. He's just shooting you straight. He's being stone cold honest. He's not, maybe you'd prefer him to play the game a little bit.
No, Jody, I don't care if he's
not he radio bit.
No. If he thinks I'm going to lose, go ahead and say it on the air. I got no problem with that. I'm just saying, like, hey, Joe, I'm rooting for you. I could use it. Right now, here's what I got. I got Rhea, I got my mom, I got my sister, I got Amy from Villanova.
And you got Anthony in Jersey.
Oh, and I definitely got Anthony in Jersey. And by the way, my two brothers. That's what I got. Probably my nieces and nephews. That's it.
I like the probably in there.
Like, Mac, man, I mean, don't you think, I mean, John and I, it's almost 9 years. I mean, don't you think it would be nice if one time he said, hey, Joe, I think you're going to lose, but I hope you win?
Well, does he believe you're going to lose all five?
Yes.
He thinks you're going to get swept.
Yes.
That's fine. Shoot, that's not good.
That's fine. I mean, what do I care?
Well, it's not fine. You're upset
what do
because
I care?
He's
what
not
is,
wishing you good
listen,
luck.
Listen, this is a guy that wanted Nate Sudfeld to start in the playoffs in the 2017 Eagles. What do I care his opinion of sports?
Okay.
Like that, Chance?
What was the
pretty good callback?
What was the adjective?
True story.
What was the adjective that Laura used to describe Sudfeld?
Oh boy, I don't remember that at all.
The great Nets, the dangerous. Sudfeld.
I don't remember.
Oh,
that.
I do remember because when he said it, I go, "Whoa! Did he really say that out loud?"
Yeah.
Well, I think it was great.
Wow.
Maybe scary. Somebody look that up for me. Somebody call in. Because Jeff Lurie, after the season was over, described Nate Sudfeld with a one-word adjective.
That's funny.
Which just grabbed my attention below my waist, if you know what I mean. Didn't quite understand where the owner was coming from, but that maybe that's where your boy John's coming from.
As Jody just said, someone pulled out the pinky. Let's go to the phones.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no.
Jody didn't say
How
that.
How did we get here?
On the record, Joe, the camera said that.
How did we get here?
I was a little bit more discretion filled.
All right, 215.
Wow. Why does it always come back to that with Jody? Whenever Jody's on the show.
Thank you, Devin. It's not always me.
You come back to it. Well, it's kind of your fault, though.
Yeah, he did. Saying. He took me down that road.
Yeah.
By the... No, I won't say that.
All right, let's go to the phones. Jody in for John today. No Rhea. Devin here, of course. Me and Seltzer, great to be with you. Phil's offense just – it's
stinks.
For a good team, the offense stinks. It does. Let's go to the phones. Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, good morning.
Morning, guys. FaceTime Jody was going. He's got him involved in that Richard and Dick name-calling situation.
We've stumbled into that a couple times.
Drop
of the year winner right here.
So, Jody, just refrain from these conversations from now on. Otherwise, you're going to get canceled at some point.
Not if I want to win drop of the year again.
That's right.
Joe, is there going to be a gallery at the golf course on Sunday?
So, not a planned one. I mean, we haven't said that you can't. Now, I don't know what the course rules would be. I can't speak for them. But it is 11:10 at Riverwinds. If people want to maybe in the parking lot, a little tailgate.
I'll follow you along the course, and when you tee off, I'll yell like Joe, Judy, or you know something. Yeah.
Judy, cousin Judy.
Real quick about the Sixers. I don't think it matters what guard is going to be the best as long as Joel Embiid is the sun that they orbit around. They're never going to live up to their full potential.
Well, in the short term, you're right. It will matter long term who's the best if one of them becomes really, really, really good. And listen, these guys just might be the new foundation 3 to 6 years from now. But to your point, Joel is still the center of the whole operation.
Orbiting around him, then they're not going to be able to do what it is that they can do or be able to do because they're going to be so concerned about Joel and how to play with Joel.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's the fit element. It's just that they need Joel. Listen, Dan, in all due respect to Maxi Edgecombe and McCain, they ain't leading the Sixers to the next 3 years. The organization and the fan base needs Joel to be that guy, or they don't have that guy in the short term.
Yeah, he's just not that guy. They've put so many pairings with him, and it just doesn't work. I'm just over the whole experiment with him. John Crock said that guy was going to win a batting award.
Title.
Batting title. He's been saying that for years. I don't know what happened to him either. As far as Bryce goes, like they just said, he did 75 swings,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So on average, you get what, 3 at bats a game, maybe 4?
No, 4 or 5.
Okay,
typically 5 for a guy that high in the lineup.
Well, plate appearances.
That's 75 swings he could do in a game easily, right? Like just like Ben to Ben Davis's point, without him actually saying it, is it's not going to get any better. It's just a pain tolerance. So why is he wasting, like John said yesterday, why is he wasting these swings hoping his wrist gets better? It's just obviously it's pain. And I'm not saying he's not a ball or anything, but if it's going to hurt when he's doing practice swings, then it's going to hurt when he's doing real swings.
Look, it's a reasonable point, Dan. Here's the only thing I would say to you is my guess, and I can respect this. So when he didn't play in the off season for 4 months, 5 months before spring training, it felt better, meaning the longer he was out, the more it felt better until it came back. My guess is that he is hoping that by sitting out in an extended period of time, it'll give him the longest stretch in the remainder of the year when it does not hurt. That's all I can guess. And, you know, it's not unreasonable.
Yeah, but I get his point.
I get your point, too.
This 75 swings. Like, what if you can take 75 swings in batting practice, why aren't you taking, like, 12, 15 swings in a game?
It's a reasonable point, Dan. I'm not saying it's not.
If you need surgery to fix it, then I guess have the surgery. I don't know. But he's doing us no good, you know, telling us he's doing practice swings and hoping that the pain goes away. Like, you know, I'll take Ben's word for it. The pain's not going to go away. And if they thought swinging was going to worsen the injury, then he wouldn't be taking 75 practice swings a day. So I don't know. It's a little confusing to me.
Yeah, like, it is. It is. You know. Fair point. All right, Dan, give me an answer, my man, for a moment when a person realizes, a character realizes something in a movie or a show.
Man, there's so many good answers. How about when Darth Vader told Luke he was his father?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's slightly overrated, but it's pretty darn good. There's no question about that. There are better answers. I'll say that. Good morning to you. You know, we only got a couple more months. We'll have Football Fridays. Looking forward to that. As it is right now, it seems like we have Lament Fridays. The Phillies just not hitting the baseball. And the pitching, I mean, basically couldn't be better. Technically, did the Astros pitch better? Technically, yes. But, I mean, come on. The Phillies are the best staff in baseball. And those guys are doing their job at an A triple frickin' plus level. And the hitters just aren't hitting. I listen to Rob Thompson. I found the answer on the irritating side. We know that he comes from the Andy Reid school of I'm just not going to rip my players publicly. I get that. But I do find sometimes in the midst of struggles, his answers, to me, feel flat for the fan base, which matters also. I know we don't go back in that clubhouse after these press conferences and sit next to him and ride on a plane next to him and be in the same hotel. And, you know, so, like, he does have to manage the relationships with the people that he manages. And I get that, but sometimes I find his answers to be really flat. Let's listen to Rob Thompson after the game yesterday on the Phillies' anemic offense.
Beyond trying to make too much out of three games, do you see any deeper trends with how your offense has performed that maybe stick out to you as concerning? Or
you know, it's the old thing that I talk about all the time, trying to do too much. That's the thing that, you know, concerns me the most, and that's just because they care.
All right, Jody, listen, my man. In football after a game, the out for a coach is, I've got to look at the videotape. I can't really give you a good answer. I got to see the videotape. That's the football. I don't know who invented it, but once someone invented it and then the agent's like, you know what, that's pretty good. Let me tell my client and that client and that client. Next thing you know, that's the pap answer in football. I got to look at the videotape. In baseball, Rob Thompson leans into this. They're trying so hard. They're trying too hard. Here's what the answer probably is, Jody. They're just not that good as hitters.
You had no chance of him to say that.
Can
no,
he say something
zero.
In the middle?
Zero. Yeah, middle, yes.
Give me that. No, because I agree with you. He's not going to say, nor do I think he should, my players stink. They're not good enough. They're not good hitters. The guys that are older on the decline, the guys that are young aren't on the upswing. I don't expect him to say that. But, Jody, isn't there a way he can thread the needle and not throw a – I'm not saying it's a loogie, but a little bit of a spit into the face of the fans. I mean, come on. We watch these games. Enough of they grip the bat so hard, they're trying so hard, that's why they don't hit the ball. Come on. Come on.
It's a pat answer. You are correct. Your evaluation of what Rob Thompson said is correct. Where is that middle point between we stink? The guys that, hey, you want to write the lineup out? They're going to go 1-for-4.
Yeah.
0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. If you write the lineup out, too. Yeah, he could go down that road. He could get himself fired. But the whole, oh, we're trying too hard thing, I could see where it would rattle a fan.
You remember it's like in a job interview where it's like, what's your biggest weakness? Oh, you know, I work too hard.
I try too hard.
I try too much.
Yeah. Right. I just care.
Sorry.
Too much.
It's nonsense.
It is nonsense. Honestly,
like that answer annoys the hell out of me.
Me too, James.
It's so weak.
Especially if you watch all 27 innings of these games.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch the last 3 days. Right, Devin? I mean, this was garbage offense.
That I will say I prefer that answer, which holds a little bit more honesty than an answer. And again, like, I'm not totally faulting, you know, I'm not saying Rob Thompson as a manager is doing a poor job because of this, because I think any manager would answer the same way. But like on, I think it was Friday before the Mets series, he was asked about the Phillies offense and, you know, how they really weren't hitting with power, you know, throughout most of the season so far. And by the way, we are officially halfway through the Phillies season, so we can no longer say like, oh, it's so early. And Rob Thompson said and continues to say, oh, well, I believe it's coming. I believe the home runs are coming. I do. I truly believe that. And at this point, it's like we're halfway through the season. Like we've seen home runs from Kyle Schwarber, a few from Nick Castellanos. A few, I mean, not even home runs or power from Trey Turner, but consistency, I guess, at the plate. Yep. But, like, you can't continue to say, I trust that it's coming, because at this point, I mean, we're halfway through the season.
Yeah, it's tough.
When is it going to come?
I agree. Maybe the answer, Jody, in the history of Philly sports that got someone fired the most, you remember the answer that got a guy fired as a coach?
Tell me.
Terry Murray. What we have here is a choking situation.
Choking situation, yes. That is a good one.
Oh, my God.
It did help Terry get out the door.
Talk about going too far with your answer.
Here's the question that I would have to Rob Thompson, and I don't know if anybody has asked it this way or will ask it this way, because all offseason, going back to before February, when they all showed up in Clearwater, the whole knock on the Philly offense, playoffs included, maybe epitomized by the playoffs, is – They chase too much.
Yeah.
They swing at too many pitches out of the strike zone. They are overly aggressive. They've got to be able to make a pitcher work, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? They've improved in that way. They don't chase as much as they used to. But they're hitting 70% of the home runs, eh?
I mean,
the drop-off is pretty significant.
It's pretty pronounced, whatever it is. You can just say it.
Does someone have nerve enough to ask Thompson, listen, you worked so hard. You emphasized this. You told us on a daily basis. We're assuming your batting coaches, when they're taking their practice out on the backfield, are like, worked on this and worked on this and worked this. Is it having a negative result?
It's to be considered, Jody. That's a very fair point. Maybe they should go back to the other style. Let's get some calls in here. Also, drop of the week will come up shortly, part one, because we got so much. We're going to do a little bit of that here. If you don't know that segment, we normally do it in the 9 o'clock hour on Fridays. Maybe you drive to work this hour and never hear the 9 o'clock hour. It's a fun segment. I mean, I think it is, where James compiles some of the best over the last week or two. Funny or poignant that's happened on our program. We'll get to that shortly. Let's go to Rob right now. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener, Jody Mack. I go back to Mac and Mac in the 90s. So
Appreciate it.
That was dropping the week winner right there.
So I just wanted to talk about the Phils. And, Joe, I look at the season kind of like you do. I don't really get caught up in the daily roller coaster every day. I do think we're going to make the playoffs. We might not.
Yep.
But when you look at a roster and how it's constructed.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
In October, I think two things either win or lose your games in October. One, you have to hit in October. And two, you have to have a bullpen that maintains leads and closes games. And I think of the way our roster is constructed. First of all, we don't have either of that. We don't have Johan Rojas should never take another major league at bat, in my opinion. We treat him basically the way we treated pitchers before the DH. Like he hits ninth, then he comes up and there's a guy on first or first and second with 0-1 out. We bunt them over. And that hitter should not be hitting in the National League Championship Game 7 of the National League Championship Series.
Correct.
Against the team. And I think so many times the general managers just said, okay, this team is okay. This team, yeah, we're good enough. And I think if you look at Sunday night, yeah, we had the second best record in baseball. But if you look at the way the 2008 Phillies were, if you pitch six innings and got to the seventh, Chad Durbin or J.C. Romero most of the times got you to the eighth, and Madsen 90 to 95% of the time would get you to the ninth, and then Lynch closed.
Correct.
That's what the Houston Astros have right now. They have a great bullpen, and Josh Hader is, what, 21 for 21? I think we need to go out and get either a Mason Miller type or a Manuel Class A type, and we have to get a center fielder that hits. And if it's Justin Crawford coming up, I'm fine with that. But Johan Rojas can't be hitting in the playoffs.
Well, Rob, let me say this. You're a great caller, so I need you to call more, my man. I agree with so much of your analysis. You know, you can even throw into that 08 situation. You had guys like Clay Condrey. You had when they got Scott Air. You know, Scott Air would come in for that one big lefty at bat. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be in the same inning as a Condrey or Durbin inning. But
rather have Scott Air than Tanner Banks is what we're saying.
I'd rather have Scott Air playing center field than Johan Rojas.
And I will give Dombrowski credit. Like, when we got Estevez last year, everybody kind of thought, okay, this was a great closer for the Angels. He's going to come in, and it didn't work out. And Hoffman in last year's playoffs didn't work out. But right. I think we have to go for it this year. Yeah, you don't want to trade everybody, but we have to at least, at the deadline, have some pieces. Because
Rob, I agree with you, because here's what we know. Bryce is only going to get older. And and Wheeler can't be better than this. I mean,
Wheeler might only have two more years left after this. You know,
I mean, Wheeler's talking about retiring in 2 years. So you know, I'm in. Rob, give me an answer. This is for Adam Sandler tickets. A moment in a movie or a show when a character realizes something.
Joe Pesci in Goodfellas when he thinks he's going to be a main man, and he walks into the room and
realizes
he's getting wet.
Yeah, right, that's a big answer.
That's a huge answer.
Yeah. What are the words? Is it oh no?
It's oh no. I think. I think
it's oh no when he walks in there and he's expecting a great grand ceremony. And then when Jimmy
gets the call, it's like the only emotion you see from Jimmy the whole freaking movie. That's tough.
That's a big answer. All right, drop of the week. We do it normally in the 9 o'clock hour. Still a little bit right now. Seltzer, you say we got this week, two weeks.
Yeah, so because both of us, I think, were off last Friday, so we've got 2 weeks worth. So
let's crank it up. Drop of the week, part one.
Hallelujah.
It's the drop.
Krzyzewski
of the week.
By the way, if you missed it last night, Sixers in the second round drafted Johnny Broom. Jani Broom, who led his team to the Final Four, was one of the more accomplished players this past year in college hoops. Now he's a five-year player, so he had that advantage of age. But projects to probably be a backup big guy for the Sixers, so we'll see. And, you know, power forward or center, we'll find out that as well. 6'9", so not your classic size, but sometimes you don't need classic size. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of teams to play with smaller units, so maybe he serves that role. We shall see. We'll get to some audio up ahead on Broom and some Edgecomb stuff, because he was interviewed last night by ESPN as well. All right, Seltzer, drop of the week, part one. What are we looking at?
Yeah, look, we are equal opportunity here. You know, we have called out the many.
He's the two.
Jody camera squeaks that have happened. Yeah. This time, tough for me. This was a squeak.
Drop of the week. We do it normally in the 9 o'clock hour. Still a little bit right now. Seltzer, you say we got a lot this week.
So because both of us, I think, were off last Friday, so we've got 2 weeks worth. So
let's crank it up. Drop of the week, part one.
Hallelujah.
It's the drop.
Krzyzewski
of the week.
By the way, if you missed it last night, Sixers in the second round drafted Johnny Broom. Jani Broom, who led his team to the Final Four, was one of the more accomplished players this past year in college hoops. Now he's a five-year player, so he had that advantage of age. But projects to probably be a backup big guy for the Sixers, so we'll see. And, you know, power forward or center, we'll find out that as well. 6'9", so not your classic size, but sometimes you don't need classic size. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of teams to play with smaller units, so maybe he serves that role. We shall see. We'll get to some audio up ahead on Broom and some Edgecomb stuff, because he was interviewed last night by ESPN as well. All right, Seltzer, drop of the week, part one. What are we looking at?
Yeah, look, we are equal opportunity here. You know, we have called out the many.
He's the two.
Camera squeaks that have happened. Yeah. This time, tough for me. This was a squeak.
James, is it on the table?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the issue.
Let's hear it. I think it is. Let's hear it again.
Yeah, I think it is. I think the issue. It's bad. Bad.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's bad.
I like it. Yeah, makes me happy.
I know, right? You know, hey, equal opportunity. Whoever it is, you're getting drop of the week. All right, let's keep it rolling.
And Jody, yours aren't normally the squeaks. Yours are normally like the guttural, like something's phlegm in there.
I don't squeak.
No.
You gurgle. Like,
you gurgle. Yes. Yeah. All right, keep rolling, James.
All right, Devin. One of two. I hate to do it to you. This might be the least bad of the two, but Devin didn't know what we were talking about here.
So if I said to a teacher in front of the whole class, if you act like an A to me, why shouldn't I act like an A to you?
You should have been expelled. Catholic school, right?
No, maybe not. I'm not going to divulge the school. I'm just saying, James Seltzer, did I in fact call him that word?
I don't know what word you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I didn't want to ask and get made fun of.
No, I know. I was joking, like, Devin. I know exactly what word he's talking
what
about.
Word? What else could it possibly be that starts with an A?
It ends with an E. Ends with an E.
Come on.
You're it ends sure? with whole.
You can say that. I thought you could say. Okay. The excitement I got when I thought James was being
so
serious.
I'm so sorry. And I definitely didn't mean to rope-a-dope you.
I'm like, how do I recover from this? I never will.
Yeah. I still don't know. Did I or did I not call that teacher that?
I hope not.
Because I put it in an if proposition. Yeah. If this, then that.
If you keep the hole off, I think it can be okay. But...
All right.
Your whole thing reminded me of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Sure. A little Spicoli action.
With Spicoli,
for
yes.
sure. Absolutely.
Spicoli and the camera.
Same vibe.
There are comparisons to be made.
Never thought that comparison would get made.
No.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Our guy, John Ritchie. Ross Tucker throwing out the first pitch at a Reading game. Not super confident with it. Decided to ask for some advice, And not only did John Ritchie give the worst advice for throwing a first pitch, this might be the worst advice ever given.
Switch arms, man. I switched throwing arms when I was 30. I had to switch. I was taught to throw righty by my dad, who didn't seem to notice that I write with my left hand and kick with my left foot and brush my teeth with my left. Yeah, I did everything with my left hand. My dad brought home the glove that covered my left hand for baseball.
So, John,
so that was troubling.
Your advice is for me, for the first time I'm ever doing this in front of 8,000 people in Reading, you want me to throw it left-handed?
You could practice.
That's your advice?
You could practice in advance.
I mean,
what is that?
What is that? Yeah. I mean, honestly, one of the crazier things John has ever said.
Uh-huh.
Correct. John wanted to tell a story about how his dad made him a righty.
I think you're
and he had to work it in somehow. Yeah. So if it brought poor Russ Tucker down, sorry about that, Russ.
I'm with you, man.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Joe, still, like Hermione Granger, the name has been said so many times on this show over the years. Still can't get it.
I don't even know how to say one of their names, but they are the biggest this century and maybe the biggest of all time. Harry, Ron, and I'm going to give it a shot. Hermione?
Hermione.
How do you say it?
Hermione.
Hermione. I'm not good at it. I mean, I don't know what else to
tell you. Oh, really? Yeah, guess what? Guess what? It happened again, like, 5 minutes later.
Good morning, Hermione. How are you, sir?
I thought he was talking to me.
Don't you mean Hermione?
Let me try it again. Hold on. Let me try it again. Hold on. Trying to get from Harry Potter. Hermione?
It's really unbelievable.
Well, it's such a weird name. I mean, Hermione. No, I just phonetically wrote it down, so I think I got it because I'm reading it. Hermione. But, like, if I didn't have it written down in front of me, I would never know it.
We know.
I would never know it.
It's amazing.
Disappointing.
We came upon a nickname this week that I threw out that I think has some potential lasting implications here. The debut of the Horny Hammer.
I love my family.
Okay, that's great.
My favorite things. And... is Alicia includable?
Yeah, sure.
That's fine.
You're just going to leave it there. Okay.
Very broad.
Yeah. I got you. Because I thought you were about to say something else. But then
did you?
You pulled back.
What? What were you thinking?
Yeah.
Horny hammer?
The horny hammer. So good.
Lean back. You have to lean back?
Lean back. Lean back. Lean back.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We got Times Yours up ahead. More phone calls. How did that go from the sound of the music? These are five of my favorite things. These are my favorite things to lean back. Mac, man, you got a mischievous grin on your face right now.
A circuitous route it took to get there.
Circuitous.
But interesting just to say.
Circuitous there.
Thank you for putting it in a different direction just so we can move on. I mean, Seltzer, come on. You're killing me, man.
All right. Two more, and then we'll save the rest for later. Two more. One with a surprise. So here's the first. Joe, you screwed up Tom and Jerry.
How about Tom and Jerry? I'm just going to a default.
I appreciate the call. I don't think it's a great answer. I mean, not really. Not really. 215-592-94. I don't know. I'm trying to.
He was robbed.
No, other than being different species, I don't really see much.
So what is it? One is a rat or a mouse? What are they?
Are you serious?
What are they?
Cat and a mouse.
Cat and a mouse?
Really? Are you serious?
No, I wasn't.
What is wrong with you?
What would you think it would be? Like a cat and a mouse. Like, that sounds
wait,
dang,
you
right?
Thought, you hold know? On.
He little
thought
rodent
Tom and Jerry was a rat and a mouse.
Well, I was trying to figure. No, it's, well.
Not great, Joe. Not your best moment. Here's the funny thing. We're adding in something that is not played on the station yet this week because our buddies Jevin and Tyler decided to do a tiny little bit about the Tom and Jerry thing. Here's Jevin and Tyler.
Coming this summer to Joe D TV's new Hanna-Barbera cartoon lineup. Introducing Tom and Jerry. Those two lovable rats are here. One is a micro-sized rat named Jerry, and the other is a giant cat-sized rat named Tom. You know, because people name their pet rats Tom, you know, like Tom Rat. They'll be doing the things we know all rats do, like chasing each other around the house. Occasionally, they'll run into a rat's biggest enemy, Spike, the family bear. You know how people name their pet bears Spike, right? When these three get together, you can be sure hijinks will ensue. Move over, Ratatouille. Tune in this summer for the debut of what will surely be everyone's favorite rats, Tom and Jerry.
Aw, come on. Come on now. He's got taking a whack at me. Oh, I love Jevin and Tyler. They do great work. I mean, listen, I got confused. I just didn't remember. It's not even got confused. I just didn't remember. I mean, it's been so long since I've seen Tom and Jerry. But I guess I should have known. I mean, I guess that makes sense. But we always love when Jevin and Tyler put something together. All right, so what advances to the finals in the 9 o'clock
hour?
It's
a great question. The Devin A is pretty good. I think the lean back, probably the lean back, right?
The horny hammer.
Yeah, I think the horny hammer thing with the lean back, right?
Yeah.
It's a little, little outrageous.
A little risque.
A little risque, but if you
would you rather go with the
no, it can advance. The hole's pretty good too.
I know, it really is.
It ends with hole.
So funny.
Come on, man.
If I'm asked, I'm staying away from Horny Hammer.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we'll have Horny Hammer advance, but I feel a little weird about it. All right. We'll do more Drop of the Week coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's remind you, Beat the Hammer coming up in 5 minutes. Contest line, fifth caller in the contest line, 215-988-1258. Caller number 5 at 215-988-1258. You will be competing in Beat the Hammer coming up in just about 5 minutes. Let's give you a chance to hear from the 76ers' newest draft pick. Broom led his team to the Final Four, was interviewed by the Sixers early in the second round last night. Drafted by the Sixers early in the second round. He was then interviewed right afterwards on ESPN. It's him. It's his mom, it's his dad. Let's listen.
The uniqueness of this opportunity, Janai, is that you just heard what Jay Billis had to say about you. What did you think of that?
I think what he said was right. You know, I'm a winner. You know, I get things done offensively and defensively, so the Sixers got a good one.
We've got the Jab 5 represented, which is your family, because you all share those wonderful initials, Mom Julie and Dad John. When you see your son accomplish his dream, what have you seen that has allowed him to get here?
Pardon me?
When your son accomplishes this dream, what have you seen that allowed him to get here?
His hard work and his dedication to the sport that he loves, to something his passion has always been. So his dream come true.
Congratulations to the whole family, you guys. Janai, best of luck on your next step.
Thank you.
All right, Jody, thumbs up or thumbs down on this pick?
The pick or what he said?
The pick.
It's a solid pick. Second round, you're throwing darts at a dartboard.
Going into this draft, if 2 days ago I told you to get Broom in the second round, you're happy?
Absolutely.
Good.
Because 2 days ago I would have thought that he could have been picked at the bottom of the first.
Here's the only thing we knew for sure going into this draft. Like, for sure. They were going to draft a big guy in the second round. I mean, like, there was 1,000,000,000% certainty.
After they took Edgecombe, it was about 98% prior to they took a smallish guard in the first round. Oh, it's 100% they're taking a big in the second round.
I mean, even if they had taken Bailey, who's a little bigger than Edgecombe, I still think they would take a bigger guy than Bailey. Because, I mean, you got to protect against the possibility of Embiid only being able to play 20 games, 40 games, 0 games. I mean, you might need a center for the future. Look, they might be drafting for 4 years from now with a center.
But it came out this week. They think he'll be ready for the opening of camp. You're not buying?
Not the way it was said. Not
Why?
The way I don't know if you heard it or read it, but I heard it. I didn't like the way Maury said it.
I read
really?
It. I didn't hear him say it.
What were you reading into it?
Well, the second time he addresses it, he says around the start of training camp, which is different than
That's
like
true.
I want him to say my guy will be ready for the start of training camp. Period. It's not what he said.
Okay.
One more piece of audio and then to the phones. Beat the Hammer shortly. So the Billis thing was referenced there. Let's listen when Broom was drafted last night, what Jay Billis said immediately in the moment. Analysis on ESPN. Here's Billis.
He's a lefty, an undersized five man, but he's got a 7-foot wingspan. And you mentioned, Malika, that he started his career at Morehead State, where he was player of the year in his league. When he transferred and went to Auburn, Bruce Pearl said, we'll see if these numbers translate to the SEC. And it did. He was dominant in the Southeastern Conference. In fact, he was the player of the year, led Auburn to the Final Four this last season. Shoots 66% at the rim, excellent on post-ups, and he's fantastic on the offensive glass. Just under 4 offensive rebounds a game. He may not be an above-the-rim big guy, but he carves out space and he gets things done. Really productive player that has been overlooked before and has come through.
Look, let's be real. When you draft in the second round and you draft a big guy, you're hoping to get, I mean, you're hoping to get a star, but you know you're not likely to. You're hoping to get like a Todd McCullough guy. Now, this guy's different. He's not as tall as Todd McCullough, but Todd McCullough came in and was a contributing big man off the bench that you said, okay, I can rely on him for, you know, 15, 18 minutes a game. And that, I mean, that's what you're hoping for. I mean, maybe even a little more, but, you know, if you give me that, I'll take it. We'll see what he's got. All right, Beat the Hammer shortly. Let's go to the phones right now. Phillies have been the main thing after an absolutely, and I'll use the word, pathetic display of offense. The offense was so bad it was offensive to fans to have only one run in three games. It was horrendous. Tom and Abington, it's definitely offensive to the pitchers who did a great job for the Phils starting the games. Tom and Abington, yo, Tom.
Yo, gang, how we doing this morning?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, good luck in Beat the Hammer there, Joey Noodles.
I'll take that luck.
I like
Can I get a good luck in the golf competition? And, Tom, why doesn't Richie root for me in golf?
Well, I first off, it's golf, not golf, but... I'm rooting for you. So,
whoa!
Thank you.
Breaking news.
Thanks, buddy.
No, not really. Once John on the Fritz there, like, kind of wavered back and forth, I was like, I don't think Joey Noodles has the mental on him. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And you have my full support. So, I love the pick of Edgecombe, right? That's who I wanted.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here's the problem. He got drafted by the Philadelphia second rounders. So.
Career over.
What is this, the new LA Clippers?
Like, well, that's it.
This is the Clippers from the 80s and 90s?
Well, it's just the way I see it, if there's any remnants of the process left, I just don't see this team doing anything. It is such a loser culture over there.
Well, Tom, I think they're trying to overhaul the culture. The problem is it's probably going to take a few years for it to manifest where these guys or someone else externally becomes the guys you can say are your core. I mean, these guys are part of the core. But, look, I think we got to acknowledge Edgecombe, Maxey, and McCain seem wired the right way. So that can begin the process of changing your culture. But sometimes it has to be addition by subtraction. I mean, look, I thought it was very notable when Pat Gillick got rid of Bobby Abreu all those years ago and said, you know, our team is now not a Bobby Abreu-based team. It is a Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Cole Hamels-based team. The problem with that as it relates to the Sixers is Jimmy, Ryan, and Chase all had Hall of Fame capabilities. Now, they haven't made it, but they had that kind of capability, obviously, for, you know, 5 to 7 years were truly supreme and excellent. And this group probably isn't that, but they're probably pretty good as guards. They're going to need a big guy or two that's probably not on this team to join them in the next 2 to 4 years for this group to have any shot.
The other guys.
To replace the other guys. Yeah, exactly.
But see, here's the problem that we're just not even referencing. They've got Joel Embiid, and they can't do anything with him.
Right.
They can't move him. Yep. His money is too big. You don't know if he's ever going to play.
No doubt.
And in a capped league with aprons and all these other things that hold you in place, even if they all listen to Tom from Abington, holy smack, we got to take this thing from the studs up and take it down. They can't.
Nope.
Because Embiid is locked in.
That's a major problem. All right, Tom, I got to get to Beat the Hammer. Give me an answer for a great moment in a movie or show when a character realizes something.
Well, how about when Dorothy wakes up, sees Toto, and realizes it was just a dream?
Wow. That's another big
idea. I had not thought of that one.
Wow.
Got some haymakers today. Yeah, and there's still some serious haymakers on the board, too.
Oh, enormous. Yeah. Enormous. All right. I love it. With that said, we love Beat the Hammer. I hope you love it. I mean, with 200 in there, let me look it up here, 86 victories. I absolutely love it. Only 45 losses. With that said, let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, so like I said, 286 and 45. And let me get quickly here as I move my piece of paper to our prize. We have a $50 Rita's Italian Ice gift card today on the line, which, of course, is great for the summer. Gets you all sorts of Italian ices from Rita's. Try the new Rocket Pop Ice at Rita's.
It's like 10 trips to Rita's, man.
I would say that could be at least 10 trips.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. Be cool, eat, at Rita's. Our contestant, his name is Tom. He hails from Swedesboro, New Jersey. Tommy, how are you, pal?
All right. How you doing?
Good. Boy, you got that baritone.
Yeah,
voice,
that's
man.
A voice right there.
Well, you know, it's an old man. It's an old man voice. You know, I'm an old man now. So.
Listen, Tom, now, I do think there is an advantage to the sports fan who's an old man because, you know, James will dip back into the 70s and 80s from time to time with these questions. So we'll see where it goes. Do you feel confident as a sports trivia guy?
With certain things, I do pretty good. Okay. And, you know, it's like I say, I'm older. I forget a lot of things. And I don't want to use that as an excuse or anything like that.
Fair enough. And all right, Jody or Devin, who's doing the clock?
Let me get on record first.
Devin is. Yeah.
Devin can do the clock. I just want to be on the record. I'm rooting for Joe DiCamera.
Thank you.
Why? Because I feel bad that John Ritchie won't root for him.
Look at
and
this.
He's whining and crying. And so, Joe DiCamera, you have my complete and 100% support. Sorry, Tom. I'm rooting for the Hammer.
I appreciate
it. I've never rooted for the Hammer before, but I feel the need to do so today.
Sorry,
not to make you more nervous, but you have a dog in the audience. Joe, I know that does nothing for you because you're a weirdo who doesn't like dogs.
No, I mean, I'm pro-dog.
There is a dog in the audience.
I'm pro-dog, sir. And we got an Allen Iverson jersey here, which is great. So we got two different Sixers stuff here. I like it, the sweatshirt and the jersey. All right, Beat the Hammer, we play it. I'm going to step away. Soundproof, at least down the hallway.
Scram.
Where I can't hear anything. Good luck. Hey, Tom, good luck to you, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Look at that. I love this. All right.
And that's true. When you take the headsets off, you don't hear anything. We don't have any speakers here. They keep the speakers
turned
down.
Well, that's true, too. Yes.
So you don't even have to wait for the camera. Go ahead and start now, James.
We don't want him to see reactions. We like to let him get a little time there. But if you
he's
say he's
jogging.
Okay, so then we're good.
Jogging away. All right, I have the timer ready.
You went jogging. I like that.
Yeah,
all right.
I don't know why.
I love it. Tom, you're ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer, my friend.
I'm going to give it a shot, James.
Love it. Love it. All right. Devin will be keeping the clock for us. You have 55 seconds. The clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. Our category for the week, biggest thing that happened in Philadelphia this week, we're doing a little Sixers draft trivia.
Okay. Right. I had a feeling it would be that.
Okay, good. I'd like to hear that. Here we go. Question number one. Again, the clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Prior to BJ Edgecombe, the last time the Sixers took a foreign-born player with a first-round pick was in 2016 when they took three. One was Ben Simmons. Name one of the other two.
Oh, I don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. Go ahead. Next
Charles one. Barkley was taken fifth in the 1984 draft. Two Hall of Famers were taken before him. Name them.
No, go next, gotcha.
If the lottery this year had not conveyed the Sixers' way and they lost their pick, what team would the draft pick have gone to?
Washington.
The last time before this week the Sixers made a lottery pick was in 2018 when they immediately traded away the player they selected. Who was that player?
Pass.
Since moving to Philadelphia in 1963, the Sixers have drafted six players who would be selected to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley are two of them. Name one of the other four.
Hall of Fame, let me think.
Time.
Oh, Tommy.
Guys.
No, it's all right. It was a tough category for you. I'm going to guess that the Hammer, we'll put Tom on hold there. I'm going to guess the Hammer's probably not going to go for five.
He's running. He's not just jogging. He's running back.
And little should he know that he's got his work cut out for him.
Mm.
He's got a smile on his face. Don't know how long that's going to last.
I like this, Jody.
All right. All right. I hear MacMan squawking about something. We'll
squawking. Squawking there.
Hey, reminder to everyone listening.
I forgot this. Sorry. There we
that's
go.
That's okay.
That was
all
a bad job by me.
It's okay. Reminder to everyone listening, 8:30 today, Devontae Smith will join the program. Seltzer, make sure you have the dagger ready.
Oh, yeah.
The audio of Jalen to Devontae, which made it 34-0 and essentially, effectively, flat out ended the game. So we'll talk to Devontae today at 8:30 about that. And Moore's also got a great charity initiative coming up. We'll tell you about Devontae Smith, 8:30 today. All right, Seltzer, this Tom in Swedesboro guy, how did he do?
You ready to roll?
Been.
All right, clock will start as soon as the first question is
not
finished.
Feeling great today, not going to lie.
Okay.
Not.
Pressure's on. Oh, the pressure. You don't even know how much the pressure is on.
Category for the week. We're doing a little Sixers draft trivia. You ready to roll, my friend?
Christian was it Welp or Velp? It was like W-E-L-P.
You stumped me on that one, big dog.
Pronounced like
that will not be a question.
Who was the guy that jumped over the car?
Who was that?
And then he did nothing in the NBA. We're all like, oh, my God, look at this guy. Jumped over a car and a dunk.
Griffin jumped over a car later.
But this guy did it like 15 years before him. Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's roll.
All right, here we go. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Prior to VJ Edgecombe, the last time the Sixers took a foreign-born player with a first-round pick was 2016 when they took three. One was Ben Simmons. Name one of the other two.
I'll come back to that.
Charles Barkley was taken fifth in the 1984 draft.
Hold on. I'm going to say Luau Cabarro.
Charles Barkley was taken fifth in the 1984 draft. Two Hall of Famers were taken before him. Name them.
Come on.
That's easy.
Jordan, Hakeem, and Jody, stay out of it.
If the lottery this year had not conveyed the Sixers' way and they lost their pick, what team would the draft pick have gone to?
Let me get this. That was the trade of Horford. I believe that was, I think that was OKC.
The last time before this week the Sixers made a lottery pick was in 2018 when they immediately traded away the player they selected. Who was that player?
2018?
Yes.
Bridges.
Since moving to Philadelphia in 1963, the Sixers have drafted six players who would be selected to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley are two of them. Name one of the other four.
Time.
Oh, okay. All right.
A 4-0 victory. Easy.
All right. And by the way, we would have had
about it. You got them all.
Well,
right.
Thanks. We would have had a hell of a controversy. If this guy got 4 or 3, we would have had a controversy because technically Hakeem was Akeem.
Well, you also said Cabarro and it's Cabaret or something.
Well, it's
I gave it to you. I think you said it wrong, but I gave it to you.
Yeah, no,
that could have been a real controversy.
So this guy stunk? Let's find out. Hold on. Let's talk to him. Tom, what happened to you, sir?
I stunk, huh? Is that what you
Good answer, Tom. That's good.
Listen, my grandkids, well, I have 7 grandkids that would have loved that read his, gift certificate. But hey, listen, it is what it is.
Well, if you'd gotten one, Tom, maybe James would feel for you.
Well, it's not me, it's Joe.
All right, Tom, I'm going to give you a question. As a longtime Sixers fan, you should know this answer. If you get it, I'm going to give you this Rita's Italian Ice gift card for you and your grandkids. You got to get this one, though. We're going to 1983. Four sensational starters for the 76ers. Mo Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Dr. J, Moses Malone. Of course, the great Bobby Jones off the bench. But there was a fifth starter, you know, that would start most of the games. Who was the fifth starter for the 83 Sixers?
Was it Ivoroni?
It was.
Mark Ivoroni.
So well done. Tom, you have won your grandkids.
Good. I'm happy.
A couple trips to Rita's Italian gift ice with the $50. Hey, Tom, you weren't, the greatest in Pete the Hammer, but you've redeemed yourself to an extent. Sir, I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your information and get you and your grandkids to have fun.
Hey, Joe, where's Fred's Tavern?
Fred's is in Stone Harbor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Why do you ask? Because I'm wearing it today. Are you watching on YouTube?
Yeah, I see you wear it. I'm watching you right now. That looks beautiful.
Look at that.
That sounds cool. So creepy.
Love that. It was weird.
I'm watching
weird,
you right now.
It was weird, but I liked it.
Oh, Fred's is iconic, by the way.
I feel like the girl at the start of the Scream movie.
Yeah.
When she runs upstairs.
From inside the house.
All right, Tom, I'm going to put you on hold. Thanks for playing Beat the Hammer, buddy. And with that victory, 287, we shut it down. And
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Not only did you clean his clock, but you also gave him a good question. It wasn't a hard question, but it wasn't a layup either.
It's a fair one,
he
right?
needed to know something to be able to win a compensation prize. Good job by you.
Thank you. All right, Jody, I'm going to give you one that I would consider even harder. MacMan. Now, let me first tell you the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which guard? This is an interesting question. Which guard do you think will have the best career between A, VJ Edgecombe, B, Tyrese Maxey, C, Jared McCain? You can make a good case for all three. Who do you think will have the best career of those three? Second poll question, who's going to win the 9-hole match play on Sunday between me and Jack? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well. All right, MacMan, here's the question for you. This is, you got to stretch your, because you got the basketball acumen, 0-1-6. You know 0-1-6ers, right? We all remember 0-1-6ers.
Sure.
All right, a lot of injuries in the playoffs, one of which was to George Lynch. When he was out,
who stepped in?
Who started for George Lynch? Game 7, Eastern Conference Finals. Like, that's one of the many games. Like, there's 5 or 6 or 7.
Were they using Tyrone Hill coming off the bench?
No, Tyrone Hill's your power forward.
He was already starting.
You got Dikembe, you got Eric Snow.
Because he came off the bench a bunch of times.
No, and there was a game in the finals, I think, where Snow came off the bench and McKee started for him because Snow was injured. But when Snow and Iverson would start with Tyrone Hill and Dikembe, it's not Aaron McKee who started instead of George Lynch.
Game 7, you're saying this is?
Yep, Milwaukee series.
You got me. Right.
Jumaine Jones.
Yep.
Jumaine Jones. Can you believe that? Jumaine Jones.
How many minutes did he play?
Well, they had a pretty good bench at that point because Rajah Bell was coming in, and you know the sheriff Rodney Buford was coming in, and, you know, and obviously McKee would come in. But I mean, yeah, because I think what Larry Brown wanted to do was not totally mess up the bench rotation, like McKee running with the second unit. So he's like, I'm taking a guy deep from my bench, Jumaine Jones, you go in
there
and
start. That happens a lot.
Yeah, it's a way to do it.
In the NBA, they specifically really like to stick to their rotation.
Yeah.
And rather than have the domino effect
of
moving one guy and everybody, they'll just throw someone else into the fray.
Yeah.
I forgot Jumaine. It's a random, shame on me.
Random part of Philly sports history.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.